Hey, good morning, everybody. I wish I could say it's good to see you, and I would love to be able to say, welcome to Church on the Rock, and everybody would say, good morning, and make noise, but man, we are all at our homes, so I hope you're enjoying the jammy time, because I am praying that this is going to get done, like done, and so we don't have to be apart anymore. I am ready for us to be all together as a body again in so many ways. As you share this, just a reminder to share our service this morning. Let's go into some prayer. Just to remind you, the prayer summit is tonight, 7 o'clock. I would love to have so many people on, because there are key things that we need to be able to be praying about. One of them is just that within this next month, we're collecting resumes for our next youth director. So there are just that and many other things. So please, we need to pray about this as a body. I hope you can join us for that. So let's pray and ask God to bless his word. Heavenly Father, you are good, you are great, and you are wonderful, and you are going to come and speak to us through your word, because your word is alive and it is active. But Holy Spirit, we invite you, because you are the author. You wrote the whole Bible through your faithful people. And so we invite you now to speak to us through it, Lord. Speak to us through what I say, what I don't say. Just allow your scripture to speak to our very souls. I pray for those who are on the way to God. I pray that you will help them to be curious and sense you tugging at their hearts, God. Thank you. Thank you that you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good speakers usually look for a killer illustration. They want a good story. Why? Because we remember stories, don't we? I remember stories that, wow, what did you remember from last week's talk? I bet you it's going to be one of the stories that we talk about, right? And I could just tell you a few good illustrations, like, there's the battleship and the lighthouse. You know, which one's going to move? I know we've talked about that one, and I just have to say that, and you can remember the whole story. I remember speaking at a camp, and they would have me back every 4 years. And sometimes the campers from 1 year would come back as counselors. And I remember this one counselor saying, I remember you. You were so funny. And then he'd say, man, I remember the talk you gave. And then he'd say, wizards, refrigerator doors, and yogurt. And I go, yeah, how'd you remember that? He didn't remember the actual talk, but he just remembered the stories. And so today, Jesus uses a killer illustration, one that everyone would get in that culture. As they walked through their day, they didn't have Uber drives, and so they'd have to walk wherever they did, and they would pass by so many vineyards. So today, Jesus is going to use this killer illustration where he says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. Now, let's dig down into some of the background of this. That basically grapevines were a big deal back then. In fact, during the Maccabean times, they would put grapevines on their coins. You know, as Canadians, we put a beaver, the strong and mighty beaver, the blue nose and caribou. We put things on our coins, a loony, the toonie. We try to say this is who we are. In the same way, they put grapevines on the coin. It was so, so important to them. In the temple, in the temple where they worship, there's outer courts and inner courts. On the outside of the holy place, not the holy of holies, but the holy place, there's this giant grapevine that they form. In fact, it was sort of a thing of great prestige, that you could donate a grape, but a golden grape. So people would save up money. That's my grape off that grape cluster. And they built this huge grape cluster around the holy place on the temple. And so the whole idea of the grapevine was just amazingly solid during that time. He said, well, why were they so interested in grapes? Wow, they're really into wine, Dave. They're really into wine. Back then, wine was more than a luxury. It was actually a necessity. because often they would mix their water, which would be well water, with a small amount of wine. Why? Because the alcohol in the wine would kill all the amoebas and all the junk that would sometimes be in the water. It would be a purifying thing. And so actually they needed a lot of wine. Unfortunately, the wine also created, or grapevines, required a significant amount of work. The soil needed to be prepared. In fact, the first 3 years of after planting a vine, they didn't harvest any fruit. They just kept on pruning it back. And so the roots would grow deep, and it would be good fruit. And I think most of us sort of know this. But good fruit only comes after you prune it. Once you prune it, the year after that, whatever new growth comes, you get great fruit. And so it would be something that they'd have to go through and prune the thing again and again and again. They'd also be removing what they call suckers. In other words, there's pieces that all leaf but no fruit. All leaf but no fruit. And they take this stuff and make big piles of it dried out. But even the grapevine was not good enough to be able to make a really good fire. In fact, it said that in the law, if you're bringing an offering of wood to be able to, you know, to help with the burning of sacrifices, you couldn't bring grapevines. It's just, they weren't good enough even for that. So basically, all they were good for was for like a campfire. So what is interesting about why it's so powerful for the nation of Israel is that it's mentioned in the Old Testament time and time again that God says, Israel, you are my grapevine. You are my grapevine. It says it in Isaiah 5, Jeremiah 2, Ezekiel 19, Hosea 10. Every time he just keeps on saying, Israel, the whole country of Israel, you are my grapevine. For instance, in Jeremiah 2:21, it says this. God says this, but I was the one who planted you, choosing a vine of the purest stock, the very best. How did you grow into this corrupt wild one? It's like how did you do that? And here's the interesting thing. Every time in the Old Testament that God says, I made this vineyard, which is Israel, it always comes down to the thing where, listen, you were corrupted. You were supposed to produce sweet grapes, but you just produced these little puny, bitter stuff. You didn't do the things I asked you to do. And so God let wild animals destroy the vineyard. In one parable in Isaiah, he breaks down the walls and wild animals comes in. God is basically saying, the judgment's going to start now. A lot of people are uncomfortable with God being the judge, but that's one of the roles he plays. He is the judge, and we know at the end of life, we will all stand before him as our judge. But sometimes judgment even starts in life now. So with all this background to know, you know, the vine, there's the vine on the temple, it's on our coins. Israel is the vine, and we don't do a good job. We need to produce better grapes. All that in your head. Now Jesus comes and says, hey everyone, I am the true vine. All of a sudden you go, hold on. What are you saying, Jesus? What are you saying, Jesus, here? Are you saying, are you Israel? Are you? Yeah, actually he was. He was saying, listen, Israel didn't get it right, but now I am the new nation. Instead of being connected to a family lineage, it's about being connected to me. Now God did not replace the nation of Israel in his prophetic promises. He still has a place for that nation. But as far as salvation goes, as far as that, Jesus says it's not about being connected ethnically. It's actually about being connected to me. In fact, Jesus sort of lives a fast-forward version of the nation of Israel. We can't get into it now, but some theologians have so much fun with this. As a baby, he goes to Egypt, like, you know, Israel went to Egypt. Jesus chooses 12 disciples, like, you know, the 12 tribes, and he spends 40 days in the wilderness, like 40 years in the wilderness. So it's almost like Jesus sort of relives fast forward version of Israel and saying, okay, now I passed the test that they could not. I lived what it needs to. And so instead of being connected to ethnic Israel, you need to be connected to me. And so when Jesus says, I am the true vine, he again, all these I am statements, he's like saying, I'm God. I'm the one. I am nothing else but me. Pretty heady statements, pretty gutsy statements, unless it's true. So what we're going to do, we're going to jump into John chapter 15 and read actually a pretty big section of scripture. And Jesus, how John writes this, he sort of jumps back and forth. And so it's hard to sort of pick out sort of this section. So we're just going to read the whole thing, and we're going to pull out three things from this whole section. So try and remember some of the things. If you want, open up the Bible at home in front of you. This is John chapter 15. And if you even have the Bible in front of you, you can sort of pop back and forth and see it yourself. There's so much in this. This is so rich. So here we go. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. And everybody that goes by says, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, of course. You cut off the suckers, and anything that's fruitful, you want to have better grapes. Of course. That makes sense in the whole vineyard. And then he sort of switches it and says, listen, I'm talking about you all here. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. And he's talking to his disciples two chapters earlier as he was washing their feet. And during that washing the feet, he says, you're clean all over. Basically, you believe your sins are going to be washed away after I die and rise again. So all that's that you're clean. And then it's like he leans in and gives a command. Here's the command. Remain in me. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. So number one, it says, okay, stay in me. Just keep remaining in me. Then he switches to fruit here. And no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither you can bear fruit unless you remain in me. So, listen, it's really about you bearing fruit, right? We're not here about branches. We're not in love with branches. We actually want branches to produce fruit. It's about fruit, and at the very end, we're going to find out why. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We're going to come back to that. Huge statement. Verse 5. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, just in case if some of you know that the words there are the rhema words, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory. This is the end goal. The end goal, we want to glorify the Father. Therefore, we produce good fruit. To get good fruit, remain in me. So you sort of see the pathway of this, right? So this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And again, I'm not sure if this, those of you who have read the Bible a little bit, goes back to, oh yeah, they'll know we are disciples by our love for one another. Anyway, let's pick up three of the points. Point number one. I think Jesus here is giving us a warning, that useless and dead branches will be cut off. Useless and dead branches will be cut off. So hold on to Jesus. I know me just saying that, me reading this often, my heart rate goes up a little bit. And I know you want me to say, okay, hold on, Dave. Explain to me. Give me the cultural background so I don't have to worry, because I don't want to be cut off, right? Our heart, it's a little scary. What does this really mean, Dave? And I'll sort of reformat it so you don't have to be worried. But what makes things worse later on in this allegory, you know, those branches that get cut off don't fare well. In fact, he gives the additional thing that they are burnt. And so, of course, it makes sense to the people. They get this. Of course, that you cut off branches that are all leaf but no fruit. There's two ways that Christians have looked at this passage in the past. And I'm going to tell you both of them. First, see, the fruitless branches is the nation of Israel. Nation of Israel, that they, you know, if Israel was the whole vine, those that have been rejected by God have been cut off. And that's, I'm sure that's part of it. Actually, we're going to come back to that part. But others counter and say, hold on. It says, the Father cuts off every branch that's in me. It seems like Jesus is giving us a warning as Christians. Remain in me. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Whatever way it is, Jesus is sort of giving that gulping warning that we need to hold on to him. We know that other parts of the Bible, that being good enough does not connect us to Jesus. That doesn't connect us to Jesus. You know what connects us to Jesus? Believing. That's the only thing I got. I can't go to God saying, look at all the good things I've got. I stay connected to God because I believe. I believe there is a God. I believe his only son of Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is God. I believe he died and rose again for the forgiveness of sins. I believe the whole thing. I believe that whole thing. And that is what connects me to Jesus. Paul, in the book of Romans, uses a similar illustration. It almost seems the same, but he talks about an olive tree. And in this passage, both the branches are of Israel, of course, and some of the branches from Israel get cut off. But I just want you to point out how Paul, when he does this about the olive tree, it's really based on belief. Let me read to you what the passage says, Romans 11, 19 to 22. You say then, branches are broken off, so that I can be grafted in. Basically, he's talking to a Gentile church and they're saying, oh, it's good that some Jewish people got sort of cut off because guess what? I got grafted on. Granted, he says, but they were broken off because of unbelief. They were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Not all the good stuff you do. You stand by faith. And so he's actually telling the Gentile church, he says, don't be arrogant, but tremble. He's telling Christians to tremble. Aren't we supposed to be so chill and relaxed? No, he says, be careful. Why? For if God did not spare the natural branches that were the Jewish believers, but he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God, the sternness to those who fell, but the kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you'll be cut off. In this passage in Romans 11, people were cut off because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And I think that is what cuts us off from God, is our unbelief. And it might be that the people who are on the vine never believed in the first place. That might be the case. But can I say this? There is a rash of people saying this. Well, I don't like what Christians believe. It makes me feel uncomfortable. So I'm not a Christian anymore. Yeah, I'm going to turn my back on God. You don't realize that when you turn your back on God, you're turning your back on Jesus. And if you say, listen, I'm going to cut myself off from God, sometimes I wonder if we deny him, he might very well deny us. I read some of these posts on Facebook, and can I just say, it breaks my heart. And I understand. I understand you're uncomfortable with what some Christians say and other Christians, and I get that. And some of you I know have sort of drank the cultural Kool-Aid and think, no, I'm going to put my faith in what the culture says instead of what the Bible says. But, man, I don't want you to go through life without the Father's love and the Father's closeness. And I just fear for your forever on the other side. I had a good pastor friend. She had got winter tires on and switched them from winter to all seasons. It's about that time. And when that happened, she didn't get them torqued up, and she was driving. She just heard this clunk, 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 thinking that something is not good. Something is not good. Made it home. They pried the hubcaps off, and this is what they found, that all the lug nuts were off, except for one. Could you imagine? And I know that during COVID times, when we're separated from other believers, I think that does not do us well. When we're separated from other believers, it just loosens the lug nuts. And if you feel that yourself, you're saying, well, I don't like what Christians do, I don't. If you hear yourself, that's a rattling in your tires. Don't lose your faith. Somehow get connected to other believers. Allow those other believers to go and tighten those lug nuts back on. Keep yourself on the road. There's a warning that Jesus says in this. Hold on to Jesus. He was actually saying this to his disciples just before his death, just before he was going to go to the cross, and their whole faith was going to be thrown up in the air, worse than our COVID times. And he was saying, listen, just remain in me, okay? Make it through this period. Just remain in me. And so I think that's number one. Number one, what Jesus is saying. Next, live branches produce fruit. I think that's what he's trying to tell us. Fruit is a sign of life. There's no fruit. Maybe there's no life. And so he says to show yourselves to be Jesus' disciples by your fruit. So what is the fruit? And again, Christians sort of disagree on this. Some Christians say, well, probably it has to do with new believers, because the Bible talks a lot about that sort of harvest, and you know, the fields are white into harvest. The sower goes and sows seeds. And these are, you know, new Christians. But the passage actually tells us that Jesus' emphasis in this passage is about the character of love. The character of love. Again, John 15, I'm going to read 9 and 12 and 13. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Does that sound familiar, right? You need to remain in Jesus, which is remaining in his love. Why? So his love can flow through us to a broken people around us. But who are we supposed to love? Of course, everyone. But he says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. And he's speaking to his disciples. This is in the upper room discourse. He's saying to live in this community of love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay your life down for one's friends. This is biblical love. Biblical love is quite broad. And we're going to spend actually our whole next series on this. And we're going to sort of relook at love, and it's going to be called Love Refreshed. I'm looking forward to that series. But as we sort of unpack love, we find out it's patient, it's kind, keeps no record of wrong. Supernatural love is just different. Just different. And Jesus asks us to love each other. Why is it such a big deal to love other Christians? Because love lived out in community of other believers is just sometimes hard. It's just difficult, because sometimes we just want to be around our friends. We want to be around people that are just amazing. But this new community, this new Israel that Jesus is creating is a place where love should be so strong in this community, other people look in and say, hold on, they forgive most within their community. They actually go and help and take things to each other in this community. This is what I want to be a part of. I have a story of a young person. I was speaking at another youth group, and I saw these kids playing around on the piano. And then this one kid came in, and there was like a something different in the air. And all the kids all of a sudden gathered around the piano, like almost like this wall of, you know, shields around. As this one guy came up, and he was trying to say hi to everybody, but no one said hi to him. And they played the piano, and they gathered in. Almost very much I'm looking at going, are you kidding me? Like, are you like blocking this guy out? So afterwards I asked some of them, and they said, well, Dave, he's like, you know, he's like a Klingon, you know, you just say hi to him and he stays with you the whole night. And yeah, he's your brother, right? Well, yeah, but no buts. Man, it really disturbed me. And I was hanging out at our youth group, and the same guy came to our youth group. I think he was making the rounds, seeing if anybody would love him. And I quickly got our leadership team together. Okay, here's what we're going to do. See that guy? I want everybody to go and have like a 2 or 3 minute conversation with him. How do you do that? Learn real fast, because we're going to pass him around. We're going to make sure he knows he is loved here. And some of them said, but he'll stay with us the whole night. Not if you pass him off. Let's have the whole group love this young man. And so that's what they did. Somebody would come up, hey, how you doing? Welcome. And his eyes got really big. It was like, somebody's talking to me. And he's, oh, and you know, you could just say, hey, you got to meet my friend. And then you found out that he started not to act so weird because the whole community loved him. That young man has grown up and continues to be a part of our community. And the love of God is a powerful thing when we can love each other well. And that's producing good fruit. So number one, hold on to Jesus, live Jesus' love. And lastly, what this passage is really talking about, fruit can only be grown if we stay connected. Fruit can only be grown if we stay connected to Jesus. And verse five is this, it digs deep into my soul. And it says, you can do nothing without me. I know, come on. Really? You know, okay, that's the Bible. It says Jesus speaking. But don't you have a little thing in the back of your mind? Come on. Anybody can love. You know, there's lots of romantic loving, you know, that happens. That's good. There's lots of action loving that happens out in the world. If it's about giving food or if it's just about, you know, being kind to your neighbor. I know, you know, Starbucks has a great water program, and they give food to food banks, and a lot better than a lot of churches I know. Well, maybe, you know, there's one word in there that's different. I want you to point out the word. I want you to see it. John 15, I'm going to read the 16 to 17 passage. It says this. I appointed you, he's talking to his disciples, to go and produce, here it is, lasting fruit. Lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command, love each other. See, he comes, circles back and says, make sure you love each other. Listen, you need to pray about this. And in that prayer, as we found out later earlier in the passage, you need to pray it and listen to God. That's those rhema words. But at the end goal, you're going to produce some lasting fruit. What's lasting fruit? Well, I don't know. Let's see. I think maybe fruit that lasts forever might be lasting. I don't know. Just putting that out there. That is fruit that lasts forever. Change lives in us and change lives in other people. And that's why sometimes our pruning in our lives can produce lasting fruit, not only for ourselves, but for those around us. When life happens to us, and it happens to every one of us, you're not alone in this. When things are just hard, and you think about it at night, and it spins around in your head, guess what? You're just like with everyone else. But sometimes, if we can realize, hold on, I might be being pruned right now. I had another message series. We just said, we actually say out loud, this is a test. This is a test. When life seems to prune you, you can say, hold on, this is a test. I need to be connected to Jesus. What does that mean? Well, Christians, I have often talked about the spiritual disciplines. We talk about this often at Church on the Rock, a daily devotional time, doing listening prayer and just hearing what God might say to you. Having weekly Sabbaths, the discipline of generosity, keeps us unattached to this world. And the discipline of meditating and just all these things. Through all these disciplines, God speaks, God moves. And he does a supernatural work in our soul. It's different than just liking the people that like you. I had an experience of this this week. It was great. I'm a part of a church renewal mentoring group. And the church renewal mentoring group just asked us a question. Let's do some listening prayer. Okay, great. Got a paper. Got out my pen. Okay, ask God, is there anybody that you have any bitterness with? My first thought, I'm not bitter at anybody. I'm good. I'm an easygoing guy first to begin with. And then I'm just not bitter at anybody. But I'm good. I'm up for this. God, am I bitter at anyone? First name that came to my mind was Brenda. I go, Brenda. And I go, that was my pizza from the night before because I know no one named Brenda. Okay, this isn't working for me. All right, this I'm going to like give myself a little holiday. I'll listen to the other guys. And all of a sudden I thought, no, hold on. I do know a Brenda. Brenda Johnson, our city councilor. And I go, well, I'm not angry at her. I kind of like her. She's been helping us. Yeah, I have complained a lot about the city lately, haven't I? Okay. Okay, God. So I confess any bitterness that I have, God, to you. Over our city, over our city councilor. These are people that you put in charge over us. So I confess that as sin. Then I just prayed blessings for her, and I prayed blessings for her. And I know that her dad is not the best help. So I prayed for her dad. And then the next question they asked us, God, how do you see her? And so I got, God, how do you see our city councilor? And the best thing I got was, he loves her. He wants her to have a personal relationship with him. He wants her to walk with him and have her burdens lifted by her creator. By the way, Brenda, if you're listening, God loves you. You see how that's different than just normal love? Do you see how connected to the vine produces a softness, a love, joy, peace, gentleness, self-control that the world doesn't know? And that fruit of love gives God honor. And so, my friends, people that I love in my community, Church on the Rock family, and extended. What does it mean that Jesus says he's the true vine? Well, hold on to Jesus. Even if all the lug nuts are rattling around in your life, no, keep that one. I'm going to stay connected to Jesus. Please, please, please stay connected to Jesus. Hold on to him. Then live Jesus' love. Decide, listen, I'm in the middle of this craziness. I'm going to live his love. And so I need to stay connected to him. I need to stay connected devotionally. I need to stay connected in some kind of community. I just need to stay connected to him. And so the world needs to see and taste the real thing. It does. They do. So stay connected to him. Let's pray, and let's maybe, as we pray, let's stay, have some quietness. I'm going to ask this. Jesus, could you shine your light on anything that you would like me to love? Heavenly Father, come and reveal to us anything that is rattling around in our souls that we just need to let go of, that we need to pray for other people. Lord, help us to know that. Come speak to us. Jesus, you're the vine. You're the true vine. I'm just one of your branches. Let your love flow through me to my community, to a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, come on up, Braden and Shana. Let's have some great worship. All right. I think we got. We had a couple questions that came in.
That's right, Dave. So the first question that came in was talking about pruning.
Pruning, yeah.
So how do we know if we're being pruned by God or if it's something else? Like possibly if it's discipline.
Yes. Okay, that's a really good question. Mm-hmm. And I wish I knew the reference to it. But there's a verse that says, take anything that goes on in life, just assume that this is God's going to use it. Some of it's by God's hand, discipline, some of it's just life. But whatever you do, whatever happens in life, just take it as if it's something that you can learn from. And sort of goes along with the idea of consider it all joy when you fall into various trials. So a various trial would be, one might be from discipline from God, might be just life, it might be your stupidity, it might be a whole lot of things. But whatever it is, count it joy and start to say, okay, God, how do you want me to grow from this? How do you want me to learn from this? Yeah, and sort of the whole pruning is, yeah, it's there's like shears that are involved, and there's a bit of ouch that's involved. And sometimes it's removing things in your life, and sometimes, I don't think we can read too much in the exact thing. It's just when stuff happens in life, it's... just take it as a pruning example, and how can I grow through that? How can I do this, grow through this supernaturally, I think?
Yeah. And I think it also goes with God's promise that he can bring good out of bad things that happen to us, that he can actually help us grow in our character, even when hard things happen that maybe wouldn't even be his plan or his best for us.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's really so true, isn't it? Yeah. I think about Joseph, and at the end of Genesis 50, it says, yeah, they meant it for evil, but I can turn it for good.
So,
thanks, Katie.
That's good. All right, I have another question. You mentioned the word remain. Actually, the passage says remain lots of times. Remain in him, remain in Jesus. So how do we do that? How would I get started in remaining in him?
Okay, that's a great question. So there's really two parts of it. Make sure that you're in Jesus. And a lot of the other passages, we're talking about how do you get actually in Jesus. And we're talking about, at least the second passage about all of things. You are in or out by belief, just by believing.
Yeah.
So if you're not sure that you're in Jesus, if you have that relationship with him, it's really through an act of faith. Just you go and confess your sin to say, God, I am not there. I know that there's things between us. I'm going to confess my sins. I believe you died and rose again for the forgiveness of that sin. And I want to commit my life to you. I'm yours. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you are now in the vine. Now, how do you stay connected in the vine? And I think it's just through that regular times of prayer and regular times of getting into God's word. We talk about God's word daily. Just even getting a little snippets of it every single day, it feeds your soul. And there's so much more that happens with that. Everything from, as you move on in life, you learn about listening prayer. You learn about, meditation on scripture, all those kind of things. Yeah. But that sort of continual feeding from him.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Dave.
You got it. And talking about prayer, we have our prayer summit tonight.
That's right.
And I would love to see so many of you hop on our call at 7 o'clock tonight. I know Helen, our prayer coordinator, she often says that when we work. But when we pray, God works.
Yeah.
And we need God to work so much in so many areas. Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, and you can find the link to that on our website. We actually have our events calendar full these days. You can take a look under more events on churchontherock.ca. And if you go to the event for tonight, the prayer summit, then the Zoom link is there. And we're going to post it again later today on the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks, Katie.
Yeah.
Thanks for logging on. Thanks for sharing. I just found out there's 26 people who shared this on their Facebook feed. So thank you so much
to
all that shared that. That's great.
We love that. I also want to remind you that if you would like to partner with us by giving financially, you can send your donations to gifts at churchontherock.ca. That's G-I-F-T-S, gifts at churchontherock.ca.
And thanks. Thanks for doing that. Those who continue to support us, that allows us to do all that we do. Well, I think that's a wrap for this week. So thank you for logging on. I can hardly wait until we get to next week. We do another I Am. And then soon, Lord willing, especially as we pray about it tonight, that this is going to be lifted and we can be back together. Let's pray as we head on out. Heavenly Father, I pray that we will be connected to you and that your love would flow through us to a hurting world. Mm-hmm. And Lord, keep each one safe. Keep each one safe and healthy. And Lord, bring us together in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have a good week, everyone.